Welcome to this edition of Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorworth. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news on issues of sustainability and the environment from around St Albans and from further afield. Now, I know we're forecast to return to winter at the weekend, but oh, wasn't today gorgeous? Everywhere there seem to be flowers opening, there's crocuses, daffodils, just lovely. And the blossoms in the hedgerow, and it's beginning to bloom. And the birds are singing like they're fit to burst, aren't they? Really lovely. Little robins, they're collecting worms. I even saw a queen bumblebee today on some dead leaves. Now, I don't know much about queen bumblebees, but I don't know if she'd been perhaps hibernating there or if she was looking for a nesting site perhaps. But either way, it made me think that leaving those leaves there had been a good plan. And if you've got any, I don't know, accumulations of dead leaves or some long grass or something else that you might call untidy, well done, because you're an eco-gardener too. And talking about things in the garden, I sowed my first vegetable seeds today as well. I got some kale in there and some lettuce and a few carrots as well. Now, I'm going to hold off sowing the more tender veg like runner beans and French beans and courgettes and all those gorgeous things until later in the year, because they certainly won't like the return to winter that we're getting at the weekend, or they certainly need it a lot warmer. Anyway, I'm digressing. So moving on, last weekend, Caroline Lucas, the co-leader of the Green Party, visited St Albans bright and early on Saturday morning. And she spoke to an enthusiastic crowd who asked her about lots of things, not just green issues, but also things like the rise of populism in politics, working hours and homeschooling. So I pulled Caroline aside just for a moment and asked her a few questions that I hoped you might be interested in. Let's hear what she had to say.
So especially following Blue Planet, there's been a big upsurge in interest in environmental issues, and other parties have taken this on board and have started developing environmental policies. If people are concerned about the environment, aren't they better voting for those other parties, given that the Greens are really in such a small minority?
Well, they're certainly not better to vote for those other parties, because although the Conservatives, for example, have taken on the rhetoric around green policies, their actions still fall very far short. And if you needed any evidence for that, then look at their new 25-year environment plan. Much heralded, very late, but the headline policy is to get rid of single-use plastic in a quarter of a century's time. I mean, that simply isn't serious. The Iceland supermarket has said that they can get rid of single-use plastic on their own goods in 6 years. So we should be having far more ambitious policies. We also need to have some concrete steps towards achieving those longer-term targets. Two very easy things the government could have said yes to. One is the so-called latte leve, in other words, a small extra fee if you use a throwaway cup when you go to a coffee shop. They could have done a bottle return deposit scheme. Both of those they've rejected out of hand. So if you actually look at their track record, they're not very good on plastic, and they're certainly not good when it comes to things like climate change.
Let's face it, at the moment, the economy isn't doing fabulously, especially with all the uncertainty about Brexit. Can we afford to pursue environmental policies?
Well, you won't be surprised to hear me say that we can't afford not to pursue environmental policies. If we don't have a healthy environment, then we don't have the economy that we all depend on. But also, crucially, the thing about environmental policies is that they very often save you money. So one of the key environmental policies that the Greens would like to see would be a street-by-street home insulation programme to make sure that all of our buildings in this country are far more energy efficient. That would save people money. In fact, even when you put aside the amount of money the government would need to invest in such a project, they would get that money back and more in a very short time through the extra jobs that would be created through this. People would be saving money on their fuel bills, climate emissions would come down, and as I say, employment levels would go up right across the country.
Indeed. Now, air pollution is a green issue which is quite concerning around St Albans. 100 people per year die premature deaths because of air pollution. Now, the local authority says they don't have the money to deal with this. What would you do about this?
Well, we want to see a far more rigorous network of clean air zones. We want to give local authorities more powers so that they can decide, you know, for example, whether they want to ban certain cars coming into the town centres on certain polluting days. We want to see finance going into scrappage schemes. We want to see a far more ambitious target for getting rid of diesel cars. I have some sympathy with local authorities when they say they don't have finances right now. We know that this government has basically outsourced its austerity policies onto local authorities, who now have, you know, less than half of what they used to have even just a few years ago. So I do think that in some cases there is a case for the government giving local authorities more resource to be able to do this. But some of it, frankly, doesn't need more resource, it just needs more political will.
Okay. Now, another issue that's facing St Albans is we've been told by the government that we have to find space for another 14,000 houses here. Is this sustainable? I mean, how do you think we should deal with the housing crisis?
Well, first of all, I would absolutely accept that there is a housing crisis, and we know that we need to be building more homes, but I would make a couple of caveats. First, we need to be building genuinely affordable homes. And the government's definition now of affordable, they changed the definition to mean now 80% of market rent. For most people, that is not affordable. So we need genuinely affordable homes. We need to be building homes for the families of people that already live in St Albans. That should be the priority. We want to be bringing empty properties back into use, so we would see a much wider use of empty property orders. We want to see brownfield site properly used before greenfield, and that isn't happening. Developers basically just sit on land waiting for it to accrue in value, basically speculating on that land. We've got policies like a land value tax, which would mean that those benefits, if you like, of sitting on land without using it to its optimal value would go, because we would tax land at its optimal value, not at the value it is at the case that if you haven't built on it.
But do you think we should be building on green belt?
I think there are lots of options before we need to get to that question. If it were the case that the only way of providing enough homes for everybody was to build on the green belt, then we would need to consider it. But that is far from being the case. We should be building on brownfield. We should be bringing empty properties back into use. We should be going up, not only wide. There are many things we can be doing to bring more affordable houses into being before we need to worry about the green belt, because we do want to protect that.
Okay. Now, St Albans was one of the most pro-Europe areas of the country. Michael Gove says that Brexit could be good for the environment. Do you think he's right? And if he's not right, how can we stay true to democracy but still stay in Europe?
Well, I certainly think Michael Gove is wrong to say that Brexit will be good for the environment. I mean, we know that some of our key environmental policies, the Birds Directive, Habitats Directive, Clean Water Directives, all of these were agreed by British members of the European Parliament along with their colleagues in Brussels, and they give us far greater protection than our domestic laws. Now, Gove will say that we will translate those policies into UK law, but what he's not saying is that we will lack the enforcement mechanisms, the European Court of Justice, the European Commission. So there's a lot of work to be done to even just maintain what we've got from Brussels. I don't think it's going to be good for the environment. In terms of staying true to democracy, to my mind, the way to stay true to democracy would be to give people the right to a vote on the final deal. Right now, Theresa May has acknowledged that, OK, MPs will have this so-called meaningful vote in October. We think it was the British people that set this process in motion with the referendum result in 2016. It should be the British people that finish it, and they should have the right to look at the deal. And if they like what they see, then by all means, they vote to leave, and that's what we do. But if, having seen the small print and having learnt what we've learnt in the last 18 months, where Brexit now is nothing like the Brexit that was originally promised, if they decide on that basis that they would rather remain inside the EU, then that should be an option on the ballot paper.
Caroline Lucas, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
And I was talking there to Caroline Lucas. I'm sorry, that was quite a lot of background noise, but I was in a hall full of people chattering excitedly about what she just said. She was waiting to chat to a lot of people, so I was unable to pull her away. But anyway, I think you've got a flavour of what she had to say about some of those issues. Now, after 10 years of hard work by thousands of volunteers, including thousands of local school children, Hartwood is now fully planted. Well, nearly fully planted. This Sunday, the last of the 600,000 trees were planted, and at 347 acres, it's the largest new forest in the UK. Now, on Sunday the 25th of March, the Woodland Trust are inviting everyone to come and celebrate the culmination of these 10 years of hard work and happiness at this fabulous new woodland. They're inviting you to come along and see the last tree being planted. So just one more to go. They're going to have an exhibition, there's going to be crafts, there's going to be refreshments, and they're going to have a lovely self-guided waymarked trail that's going to take you all the way from the car park up to the site where the final tree is planted. They said it's about a 15 minutes walk. Now, it's a free event and booking isn't necessary. If you do want some more information, then you can call 01476 58 quadruple 1. That's 01476 58 quadruple 1. And as I say, if you do go by car, give yourself a good amount of time to walk from there to the site of the final tree. Yeah, to be quite honest, so why don't you cycle up there? You can even walk up there actually from St. Albans. Very nice walk it is too. Now, if you were listening last week, you'll have heard about the lovely thing that is the National Garden Scheme, and you'll be delighted to know that you don't have to wait all the time until the summer to visit a garden, as one of the National Garden Scheme's gardens that are opening for the first time, actually, is opening this Saturday. It's Water End House, and it's on Water End Lane, which is just to the east of Wheatamstead, just on the River Lee. And it's apparently a hidden gem of a garden. It's 4 acres. It's sets off an elegant Jacobean manor house, which isn't open, and it's got a stunning display of spring bulbs, orchard carpeted in snowdrops as well. It's got quite steep grass slopes, but it's got lovely views of the surrounding countryside. The steep grass slopes, you know, might want to think about those if you are not quite as mobile. It's got formal flint walled garden, that's a bit of a tongue twister, formal flint walled garden, informal gardens leading into the woodland and mature specimen trees and a newly created vegetable garden. Oh, and bantams and Indian runner ducks. So something for everybody there. And they've got over 40 varieties of daffodils. Wheelchair access to the lower garden only. Now, I know what you're going to ask. You're going to ask, is there going to be cake? Well, there is going to be cake, so thank goodness for that. But there'll also be hot soup and bread as well, because, the weekend does sound if it's going to be cold, so you'll be needing that. So that's on Saturday, 12 till 4, and that's Water End House, open under the National Garden Scheme. Now, date for your diary, St. Albans Friends of the Earth are having their AGM on Wednesday, the 28th of March at 8 o'clock, and it's going to be at Hertfordshire's first Passive House, which is an eco house as well, and that's in Harpenden. They'll be getting through the formalities quickly to give you a chance to come and have a look around this inspiring house. So do take a look at stalbansfoe.org for details, and email stalbansfoe@hotmail.com if you'd like to go along. So that's St. Albans Friends of the Earth. Now, Hertfordshire and Middlesex Wildlife Trust, they've got lots of events coming up for Easter for children. So you're going to have to book those well in advance. Book them now because they do tend to sell out very quickly. Lots of lovely things. They've got family pond dipping. They've got bug hunts. They've got little explorers in the enchanted woodland. Oh my goodness, how much excitement is there here? Wild family springtime scavenger hunt. Oh, bow and arrow making. So you need to get yourself on the Hearts and Middlesex Wildlife Charter website and book a lovely treat for the kids over the holidays. And if you'd like to be inspired by wildlife, then on Tuesday the 27th of March, they've got a poetry inspired by wildlife event in Welwyn Garden City at Howlands Baptist Church. Listen, discuss and be inspired by poetry on wildlife, nature and the local landscape. Well-known and contemporary poems chosen and read aloud by members of local poetry groups, and the Vare Poets are going to be there, which is lovely, as well as U3A. And if you'd like to read aloud a poem of your own choice, then you can contact Claudia on 07754145029 or contact claudia.harflet, that's H-A-R-F-L-E-T-T, at gmail.com. So perhaps if you've got a poem that you've written or somebody you know, or just a favourite poem about wildlife, that sounds like a lovely event to get you inspired for some lovely springtime wildlife. So that will be on Tuesday, the 27th of March at 8 p.m. And again, you'll find details of that on the Herts and Middlesex Wildlife Trust website. So lots of fun to be had there. Don't forget that it's the Great British Spring Clean. That's taking place between now and the 25th of March. And whilst there is an event coming up this weekend, a couple of events coming up this weekend, you can take part in this just by yourself. Just go out, pick up litter, take a photo, hashtag litter. Litter heroes, and you can be a fabulous litter hero in the Great British Spring Clean. So the events that are coming up is on Saturday. There's going to be a community litter pick from Howard Shops. That's between 10 and 12. And then on Sunday at 10 o'clock, you can meet at the recreation ground at Park Street Lane, and they're having a litter pick there too. So yeah, to be quite honest, lovely time of year. It'd be gorgeous to be out, and it's going to be cold at the weekend, but also with all the lovely spring flowers and things, such a shame if they're covered in bits of plastic. And do you know, I've noticed so much at the minute, because there's no leaves on the trees, it's all really, really visible, bits of plastic bag and things, really horrible. But yeah, so do go along to one of those, or just be a litter hero in your own right. Do a 5-minute beach clean, perhaps, without a beach. Just get out there, spend 5 minutes picking up bits of plastic somewhere near you, and be a hashtag litter hero. Great idea. And with the cold weather, don't forget what I was saying last week about if you know somebody who's struggling to stay warm in their home. The Herts Warmer Homes Scheme has money to help people who need help to get home, to make their homes more efficient, more cheaper to run, more environmental. And I've put a little blog about that on the Radio Verulam website, so all the information is there. And also there you can find the podcast of this and other programmes. Do get in touch. Always love to hear from you. Tweet us at rv_environment. Email amanda@radioverulam.com. Now, next week on Environment Matters, we'll be hearing from the finalists for the Mayor's Pride Environmental Champion Awards. Oh, what an inspiring bunch they are. You're going to absolutely love them. So tune in 7 p.m. next week to hear those wonderful people. Until then, thank you for listening.